So while it may not be the best idea to introduce younger children to serious environmental issues too early, it can be empowering for teenagers and young adults to engage in a project that's directly connected to their local community's health and environment. That's been the case for three high school students in Fayette County who've devoted the past year to researching Minden's possible PCB contamination and the history of the EPA's involvement in the Schaefer site. Roxy Todd recently met up with the students and their teacher as they collected samples in Minden to test them for contamination. And just a reminder, the Schaefer Equipment Company was in the business of repairing, building, and disposing of various types of transformers from coal companies. In the 1970s and 80s, the company leaked PCB oil into the soil.
Markayla King came up with the idea to study the PCB contamination in Minden as part of a year-long research project. She lives just down the road from where the highest concentration of PCB in this community was first discovered by the EPA in the 1980s.
This affects me too because I live here and it kind of, you know, some of the water may come down my area. I feel like I want to know more about my community. I want to help us out because we've been fighting for a while.
Markayla is an upcoming junior at Oak Hill High School. She's 15 years old and is doing this research project as part of a program called Health Sciences and Technology Academy, or HISTA. It's a mentoring program for high school students intended to increase the number of minority and first-generation students that go on to pursue science and health in college. Markayla is African American, and she says she wants to eventually become a biomedical engineer or an anesthesiologist. Her mentor in the HISTA program is Brandy Cook.
Each year they have to choose a topic to do a year-long research project. It has to be something that's connected to their community, community-based research, and it's student-driven. They do all the research, they do the data collecting.
For this project, Mrs. Cook is helping Markayla and her two classmates collect soil samples at the Schaefer site to test how much PCB contamination may be left in the dirt. We hike through a small forest and tall grass out to the site where the Schaefer Equipment Company once stood.
This is a pretty bold project. I mean, you're getting kind of up close and dirty to maybe some potentially dangerous chemicals. Have you ever had any, I don't know, worries about that?
Yeah, I have, but I'll take that risk. I want to find out more about it.
Markayla says this experience makes her feel empowered. Even though she's lived here her entire life, she didn't know much about the history of the Schaefer Company or the PCB contamination. She's been four-wheeling here for years, and she says she never even realized the EPA had been involved in cleaning up this site. Her classmate, Rose Gayhart, doesn't live in Minden, but she says she thinks it's important for young people to learn about issues like this in their area.
Because, I mean, we're the next generation. If we don't do something, who knows if someone will?
We reach a swampy area where an orange flow of water seeps through the forest. Old rotting leaves clog the top of the small stream. The Schaefer Equipment Company actually stood on top of a former coal mine site. According to one researcher I spoke with at the West Virginia DEP, Minden sits on top of multiple abandoned mine sites, crisscrossing and running beneath the ground for miles. The students tell me their hypothesis, that soil samples here in Minden will test higher in PCB levels compared with soil samples in the nearby community of Oak Hill.
You want to help him? Can we get you some gloves?
Mrs. Cook hands Markayla and her teammates Corey and Rose gloves and the test tubes.
The first part of this test involves collecting an actual soil sample, which is what Corey's getting ready to do. He's got a
Corey scoop. Bends down in the mud to scoop it into the glass tube.
And then we'll use a series of chemical reactions.
All of the sampling and testing is done right here along the creek bed. They'll be able to determine the results in about 20 minutes.
Eventually, after we go through all the steps, we'll be able to compare our results to a chart to see whether it's above or below 50 parts per million of PCB.
They add another chemical to see how it reacts. This is part of a kit their teacher ordered online that tests PCB contamination. Corey shakes the bottle. The color of the mud in the test tube changes to a greenish-brown color. On the instructions, they match the color with the level of PCB, less than 50 parts per million. Probably not high enough for alarm, at least not because of PCB. But the water doesn't look entirely safe either. As I mentioned earlier, there's an eerie orange tint to the water that is most likely due to acid mine drainage from one of the abandoned mines that lies underground here. I see no fish or tadpoles swimming, and there's a noticeable gassy smell bubbling up from the creek bed. This test the students use is not as sophisticated as what the EPA uses, and maybe with a more expensive test, they could get a more exact figure of the level of PCBs in the dirt, or a better idea of what other contaminants may also be in the water. Markayla tells me she's not surprised to learn the PCB isn't very high. After all, this backs up what the EPA has reported in recent findings. But, she says, any contamination at all, no matter how small, is alarming.
I never knew anything about it when I was younger. I'm just now finding out about this, and it's just kind of mind-blowing because I didn't know this stuff has been happening for years.
The hands-on experience getting out into the field and testing the dirt near her home has made her even more convinced that this is the type of work she'd like to study in college and go on to do as an adult. At least, she feels confident that some type of health science is in her future. Maybe something where she can help people, like her neighbors in Minden. Later, when the students compare their test samples with the ones they collect in Oak Hill, they find them to contain similar levels of PCB. However, they later learned that the sample site they chose in Oak Hill was the site of a car crash. The accident may have caused PCB to leak into the soil, so they plan to repeat the experiment again next year. Markayla says she's interested to find out what the EPA reports later this year when they release the results from their tests from Minden to see what levels of PCB they found near her home. At this time, the EPA says most of the samples they collected in Minden in 2017 have contained less than 2 parts per million PCB, far under the levels that would pose serious risk to human health, according to officials. There was one result that came back at 6.2 parts per million and another at 50 parts per million. But they are resampling that area again to find out if there is indeed a high enough risk to justify placing the site on the Superfund National Priorities List. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Minden.